This is CliffCentral.com.
Hello, 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 hello.
What's go?
It's all good, man. Urban Culture Drive, back at it every Tuesday, 2 to 3. And as always, I'm not chilling
alone. 3 to 4.
3 to 4. Oh, still can't get it right.
You know, we still think we're at Urban. We're taking over Kalman. Right. Yeah.
And it's funny. I was about to say, Woody, from doing the shows every day, for a month, to coming now once back to our normal slot once a week, it feels so. It's like I'm having withdrawal symptoms.
It's a bit of an adjustment, but we're good with the adjustment.
But anyway, as always, I'm not chilling alone. I'm with the ever so lovely, the ever so sexy, the Tswana girl in the light skin, Candace Coulson.
YBK. Hi.
The girl that every white person smiles to because she's closer to them than she is to us. Colored, yes, we like colored.
And in support of Candace Coulson, I'm also with the ever so fabulous, the ever so saucy and spicy, Mr. Craig.
Craig O'Sexy. Who just wrote an entire 12 rules about how to cheat-proof his relationship. So I'm going to read it to you guys later.
About what?
How to cheat-proof a relationship with me.
That's quite interesting. With you, specifically.
Specifically with me.
Oh, wow.
That's when the amount of spare time you have.
Excuse me.
Like,
hello,
what?
Guys, I don't sleep.
A relationship. Mm. How do you even... Okay. What are explain, Ella? When the time is right.
We're going to get to it.
But over and above that, guys, I've got an interesting guest in studio with us today. My brother.
Mr. Deep Voice.
You see, we got two
voices
today.
It just had to happen.
The man goes by the name of Lesedi. Molefi.
With an I.
Molefi. Right? I'd like to introduce him, right? But I feel like there's things I'm going to leave out. So I'd rather...
Please don't ask me to do it.
You introduce yourself.
Introduce yourself.
For those who don't
know. Yeah, because he's quite multifaceted. Yeah. And he's quite a dynamic dude. I'm quite impressed, man.
I don't want to spoil it, so...
Tell us all about
you. For those who don't know you, who are you and what do you do?
Well, my name's Lee and I'm on the spot.
Yeah.
Everyone in the back is going crazy, by the way, every time you speak. So, Lee has like a whole stan group.
At least you didn't say that.
On the other side of this glass.
I think you're doing a better job of introducing
male and female.
At least you didn't say that covering alcoholic or something.
Himself.
You know what, Lee? You're a whole snack. Okay, he's a whole snack. That's all I'll say about the man. The man is fucking good looking.
So I guess as an introduction,
he looks like he just walked off the cover of GQ magazine.
Was driving everybody crazy.
That's all you guys need to know. Just following on the gram.
Let me take this then.
Go.
Right, Lee is a South African
writer, videographer.
What is it again? Content. Okay, what is that? Content strategist.
Content strategy is someone that plans sort of a brand's content story.
Like for campaigns and stuff like that.
Yeah. Content strategies are especially useful in public relations because it's not as much of a hard sell. So brands are trying to find new ways to connect. Connect emotionally as opposed to, connect based on a product and a hard sell. So, yeah, that's kind of my...
Talking about connecting emotionally and brands, you remind me of that advert, that little girl who speaks, I think it's in Liberty or Investec or something.
Wow, yeah, I've seen that ad.
It's a beautiful advert.
I really, really, really enjoyed
which
that
ad?
There's this little girl, starts about how their first child is going to live for 200 years.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Just like
it's Salam.
Yeah.
Right, so is that something like you help with in terms of content strategy?
Traditionally, that would still be an advert. I think a content strategist looks for more online sort of and kind of mobile opportunities. So I don't know if it was Sandlam, but recently a brand did a WhatsApp show, like a WhatsApp web series sort of TV show where people could follow the proceedings of like this imaginary family's funeral. Okay. I think those are sort of like the kinds of ideas that content strategists, okay, right, you know, like new ways of reaching consumers, like in ways that aren't okay, traditional, like your TV, gotcha, radio, right, gotcha, or a web series even.
Okay, and then your focus, topics of focus is obviously current affairs, pop culture, arts, and what politics does it range, or is it only limited to that?
No, definitely it ranges. I think anywhere that human beings have an interest, mm-hmm, we will be there. Because every brand is trying to sell something. Every brand wants to connect in a meaningful way. And if people care about something, best believe there's a brand that's going to try to enter that space and connect. And
capitalize from that.
Totally. Absolutely.
Just break it down for Craig or Sex, because, you know, I hear a lot of technical terms here, a lot of technical jargon. I mean, when you say that you are a documentary strategist, did I get that right?
Or not,
content strategist, right, yes. Right. That.
Yeah.
You know, it sounds like, you know how I love people that give themselves... what do you call the titles? Like a cleaning technician, a massage technician. You know what, right, I mean? Right. So I feel like, what do you exactly do? You know, from an accountant perspective, because I'm an accountant in general. So when you say that to me, I don't know what you're saying.
So a content strategist creates stories. So the irony is that a good content strategist, yeah, would do well to give themselves a good title.
I've got you. Certified by any form? Do you have to study? How does that work?
No, I think you'd study different. So a storyteller, somebody who studied film, a writer, English lit. There's many. Basically, it's storytelling. Content strategy. Content is...
ideas.
So much, yes, so much that we, yeah, consume online. Yeah. Like it's in fact, I mean, this is content.
Yeah.
Cliff,
yeah,
Central produces content, right? And so strategy is what?
It's how to use it.
How to use it.
How to get the point across.
How to consume it,
right,
yeah,
in a way that they can digest it.
Yeah. And isn't
okay, no, please go on.
No, for sure. I think, yeah, strategy is the part where you use it to achieve a certain goal.
Yeah.
So if you know, I know you consume all kinds of content every day. Absolutely. On Facebook and every, you know, so my job,
yeah,
is to get your eyes onto my client's content.
Oh, that's beautiful. So would you say that the measurement of that, to say that you've added value, would be how many viewers, how many ratings, etc.?
Oh, man, that's a great question. And no. I think that's what often sort of trumps the traditional approach to content, is that, you know, we used to measure that with numbers, right?
Figures,
like how many people,
graphs,
were,
so forth, yeah.
You know, newspapers, we used to measure circulation and kind of estimate, absolutely, how many people have seen. But now, we have so much data online, I know exactly who's watched it when and when. And so that also gives us the opportunity to measure those numbers in different ways. Like we can measure sentiment. We can, you know, so
measure sentiment.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And I mean, there's also the fact that because it's online, it's a two-way conversation.
I hear you.
So you know, we can measure sentiment even through comments, right? So yeah, it's it content has to be useful.
Absolutely.
It has to be insightful, and it has to be usable. And I think those are the content producers that are going to get ahead. It's people that don't just come to you and try to sell you a product, but try to sell you something that will be useful and perhaps also enlightening. People love to be the new person, yeah, with a new, you know, like with a new story, yeah, or you know, somebody at the dinner table who introduces a new idea. And it's the same goes with brands. You know, if the right brands or organizations come through and introduce new truths, new human truths, I think they're the ones that are going to get ahead.
How did you get into all of this?
Wow.
Like, what was it? Did you study something before? Did you study for this?
No.
Did you work somewhere before? How did you get into all of this?
Yeah, I didn't. As a child, I always loved movies. They were a safe space for me to retreat into. I was sort of like the last kid, and books and movies were my safe space. They were like the one place I had the time of my life. And there was sort of like a period in my time when things were really kind of turbulent on a family front, and so I escaped into writing. And that was the first time that I was able to do that.
What age was this?
I was about 17 when I saw my first script. Okay. Right? And I'm like, oh snap, this is actually worth something. Crazy. Yeah. Right? Like, people are actually willing to pay money for this. And I think after that experience, I like, that just completely blew my mind that that I could make money from
doing what is here.
Absolutely.
So you essentially never worked for, like, you've worked for yourself. Did you work for an institution? Did you have a formal job?
Oh no, certainly. I worked for in the last five years I've worked for now three different organizations.
In the same sphere?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Okay. Started out as a junior digital content manager at a place called Liberty Africa, which is a youth agency that was based in Brum. Excuse me. From about 2013 to late last year, I left that place to move on to another PR agency in Houghton called On Point PR for about a year, and then I quit that this year to pursue. Oops, I was at Liberty for 4 years, and I quit that this year to start my own content studio.
North, east, west, south. That's a confusing name.
Yeah,
like, how the
we
hell
everywhere.
Did you even,
how the, we like, be everywhere.
Why didn't you just, like, even getting the order?
The order of it.
Of it. Why didn't you just say north, south, east, west, the normal? Why that order?
I wanted to play with the idea of news and the fact that we're stretching the news. We're just like kind of giving it a bit more nuance news. And yeah.
Oh, the acronym is news.
Right. Smart. Yeah, it's kind of like stretch it out to make it. Yeah.
Now I get it. Now I get it.
Yeah,
so we'll
probably put that on the website. It may not make sense now, but it will.
It will, right? So it, being in the space, right? There's dude, it's forever shifting.
Yeah.
There's forever growth. There's forever new things coming about, new direction, new ideologies. Mm-hmm. There's a whole constant shift and change that happens in this. What drives you to continue being here and not just divert and find a niche and just stick there?
This is exactly where my heart says I need to be. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's you know, have you ever found yourself like in a position that I think all of your chakras are just like, nah, bruh.
It doesn't align.
Every single part of you simply refuses to continue to be in that space. And I think I was in that space for a long time. Where over the past couple of years, I think also there's been a lot of sort of personal development.
Enlightenment.
I certainly hope so. You know,
if you're talking about chakras, trust me, there's not a lot of people.
Google, fam.
There's not a lot of people who go to Google and Google chakras.
Word.
You get what I'm saying? So it comes with a level of heightened enlightenment, if I may put it that way.
We're just high grade English. We can just, you know, leave it there.
Mr. PhD, what is chakras? What is the definition of chakras?
It's probably something that has to do with the soul, earth, God, everyone. Yeah, that's
yeah, you're
my
right.
Definition.
You're pretty much right.
You know what
energy.
I mean? It's just energy. Yeah. Like, let's just not go all Indian on it.
So, so
Julius.
Julius, eh? So you're saying you are way.
Yeah, I think energy doesn't lie, and right now I feel that I am where I need to be, and I'd like to see that through. You know, I'd like to pursue that further. I mean, you know, I've been producing content, I've been writing, I've been doing that for a while for a different reason. I think if you look closely at sort of the last 5 years for me, I'm doing the same thing. But the reason I'm doing it now has changed. Whereas before I did it for brands, I did it to start a product. Now I want to do it to.
Which brings me to my next question.
Okay.
Why are you doing what you're doing? Like, why? What's the motive behind your work? What are you hoping to gain, or teach, or achieve? With what you're doing?
I think I'm hoping to spark more questions than to provide answers necessarily. it also extends from the, and I think this is why it feels like such a natural part of my life, is it? Yeah. It extends from the fact that I as an individual, I mean, I'm a 27-year-old person living in Johannesburg in 2018, mm-hmm. and I think a lot of us would agree that there's sort of like this search for a place in the world, right? You know, around identity, culturally, politically, socially. You know, we're asking a lot more questions about what we already know.
Yeah.
We're challenging what we know ourselves, and we're challenging each other as well. I wanted to use my skills to play a part in that, because I think it's... I'm really excited about what the 21st century will look like for Africa, and I'd love to play a part in how that unfolds.
That's what I wanted to find out. Is it about pushing an African perspective, or uplifting African conversations, or you get what I'm saying? Because you spoke about you were doing it for brands back then.
Sure.
So now, how does that collaboration happen? If a brand comes and approaches you now, do you put your objectives and beliefs aside to accommodate what they want to push, or do you somehow incorporate that, or do you only work with brands that are aligned with what you want to achieve?
I think that the last two. Certainly will not compromise, because then I wouldn't have done this.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have dived into my savings, gotten a loan in order to be able to do all of this. Mm-hmm. I did this because I wanted to create that sort of safe space to be able to create the kind of content that challenges,
yeah.
The kind of content that goes beyond the hard sell. I believe that there's no one in a better position to imagine themselves outside of how the world is today. Let me rephrase it. I think African people have the greatest cause to imagine themselves outside of the current world
situation.
Order. Right. The current situation that we're living in. African people have the greatest cause to look for something new. Simply because
of what we come from and what we've been subjected to.
Absolutely.
But is it more of a something new, or is it more of telling their own? Because I feel like as a continent, as a people, as a culture, as a heritage, it's not a fact that we're looking for something new. It's just the fact that our voices have been shut down. So we want a platform where we can tell our stories from our perspective with our narrative, and not what others.
Fana, that is exactly it.
Okay.
That is it right there. There is the new, and there is remembering who we are. Right.
And that is part of documenting it.
Absolutely. Okay. And I think documenting it extends. If I were to go looking for content, so a friend of mine, Lebohang Rastaba, he was making a documentary a couple of years ago.
Patriarchy.
Yes, the one that made
People versus Patriarchy.
Yeah. A couple of years ago, he was making another documentary about Enrum Langeni.
Yeah.
And a lot of the content, a lot of the photographs, a lot of the videos, the footage, are not owned by South Africans. He had to go as far as Germany to get the rights to use some of the content about local political heroes.
You understand?
That's a really that's really scary.
Yeah.
It's very scary that I mean, look at the Weenie documentary, for instance.
Yes.
You know, the fact that that was not produced by a South African is on its own quite telling.
Yeah.
About who owns our history and who gets to tell the stories about our history. In the position that I'm in right now, I think, you know, we can start here.
Last week we had some guys from Unscramble Africa, right?
Yeah.
They were talking about the very same thing, that it is important for us to document our own history.
Right.
From our perspective, because currently you go anywhere, there is nothing that is from the African people about African people. There's minimal, you know, that documents African people's stories by African people.
I mean, think
and
about
that's,
it.
And that's a skewed narrative.
Yeah, completely, man.
Because how I see Craig in town and the homeless people in Bram or wherever, it's not the same way as how a white person would see that.
So I certainly don't believe so.
Okay.
I got you, producer. Thank you so much for that lovely interview. That did take a while, but anyway, this question has been burning me. You sound like a well-read young man, which is impressive. You know, I find reading extremely boring. I've been reading my entire life. I wouldn't do it. I just want to quickly ask something. The industry that you're in is absolutely something that is unknown to black people. I mean, it's very few black people that I know that would actually call themselves a content strategist or a filmmaker, whatever the case might be. It's just a white dominated industry. Would you say that?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yes. But I think that extends. I think that's also true because of the society that we live in.
Absolutely.
You know, because of the history that we have, that's true for so many different industries.
Because I think, you know, as a young black person, I would be very skeptical on living a typical corporate job with really consistent income to do something that, number one, revolves around what is in, what is out, and what you perceive to be your idea, and you're pushing your idea out there.
Yeah.
So I'd be very skeptical, number one. Number two, I'd be a bit worried about the income vibe. You know what I mean? I wouldn't be... No, it's a real truth, fam. I mean, we are previously disadvantaged. I hate that word, but it's the way it is. So, I mean, how do you get about with that idea? How did you, number one, sort out, make sure that your idea is really heard? And are you changing that, you know, that white dominance? Number two, the income. How is it like? I mean, I'm not saying disclose your income statement. Just
is it a survivable situation?
Is it a, you know, is it a real thing? Is it not a freelancing thing? You know.
Well. Okay. So the first is about how white.
Yeah.
Dominated. Sort of, yeah.
Certainly is white dominated, and not just white dominated in the sense of white bodies, you know, although that is the case too, but the fact that the manner of storytelling, the focuses of storytelling are also from a very Western lens, you know, or a sort of a lens that sits on the outside of black existence. Absolutely. And looks inside and kind of and so I certainly want to switch that around and tell a story from the inside. So, like you said, there is a lot that's scary about the fact that I'm sitting here today and saying that I'm just gonna tell a completely different story and take a full dive at that. But I think that's what we need, and I think that's what I'd like to. I think that I have peers who have done it, who were doing it before I did. So we'll likely see more black people take up space and take up platforms where they can tell new stories. Yeah, I mean, you know, think about Wakanda, right? I mean, that is something that was born out of Stan Lee and Jack Kirby's mind. And there are, yet, you know, a lot of us today will probably be more familiar with Wakanda, a fictional kingdom, than we are with actual African kingdoms and civilizations throughout history, you know. So let's look for those kinds of stories, you know. I'd love to see also, you know, within sort of like the world, the universe of black storytelling, let's share and borrow storytelling devices from other African countries and you know, let's share those stories. I think that's really exciting as an idea.
Does it make financial sense though, from a personal perspective?
I think that's the strategy part.
Yes.
Right? Like, that's the part you
can.
I got you. Yeah. You see, this is stuff that a lot of us don't know, and you know, and people I'm sure would like to maybe, you know, want to tap into it, but don't know how to execute it.
Not for sure, man. Perhaps I mean, I'm one of those people. But I mean, I'm lucky to have some experience with it now at this point. But yeah, I think I got lucky that I was, because I was in the PR game, I've been in the PR game for the past a year and a half or so, I've also seen the massive gaps in the market, that exist. And so for me, I'm also aware that it's A, about positioning, it's alignment, you know, and it's also, you know, selling your product well, just like with anything else. I was very lucky to be able to walk out of my previous job and land a client immediately, which has meant that I had gas to get you. It's luck plays a factor as well. I think your networks over the years, the people around you, are very, very important for any entrepreneur. You'd be surprised how many resources are available to you if you ask and if you collaborate. Yes. And if you look for people with shared
ideas.
With shared ideas. Absolutely. You know, and yeah.
Would you say that statement, would you say that is the reason you created your Tokyo Connecting Pangea? Like that narrative?
Definitely.
For those who don't know what Connecting Pangea is, tell them.
No, for sure. I mean, Reconnecting Pangea, my involvement in it was as a result of collaboration, yeah. Right? It wasn't my idea. It was actually written as a treatment by a friend of mine called Bokang Sibulla.
Okay.
And he submitted his treatments to a fund. And after he landed it, he came to me and said, hey, man, let's shoot this thing. And what it was about is how the internet is affecting African culture, politics,
views,
education, etc., right? And yeah, you know, initially we started and we were just really excited to see how the internet is actually affecting African life in those areas. Culturally, I mean, politically, we can go as far back as the Arab Spring, we can go as, you know, fees must fall, you know,
yeah.
See how sort of it the internet and social media accelerates and brings an audience to real life. Yeah, you know, so culturally, it's that we get to collaborate, we get to mix flavors, we get to pool resources, you know, simply because we're able to connect. Like, our heightened interconnectedness is a major opportunity, and I don't think we should overlook that.
Candace, when being a social media person, would you say you agree to those views that, look, because I'm two ways about it, right? But Lee saying it helps with connection, of which I fully agree. What is your take on it? What is the internet benefited or not benefited you on?
Well, the internet's great. We all know that. Yes. What I will say is, when it comes to, I guess, it's pretty influential as well. So in terms of, it's good and bad. So it's the it's
the yin to the yang.
Yes, it's fantastic, but also it's your downfall. So I think it's finding that
balance.
That good balance, but also. We've all got these hypes. So you want to trend, you want to have a million followers, you want to do this. Yeah. You know, it's just a whole lot. I feel like it's very important to, you got to know who you are if you want to tread these kind of waters. But I think someone who could give us a better opinion, who is currently living that.
Yeah, on a major scale,
really straightforward.
Looks
like
because 20,000 followers, 22,000.
No, let's make it simpler. What are the pros and the cons?
Yeah,
the pros and cons.
Besides the obvious things that
besides the cloud and all, what has it benefited you having internet? Has it opened you up to other things? Is it what has it done for you?
It has definitely made my homework doing a lot more easier. My research is a lot more easier to do. I mean, you can copy, rephrase, and paste.
Yeah.
Claim it as your own. Darling. It's so much easier to connect with people from all over the world, especially if you have the same ideas, specifically with regards to what you're talking about.
Right.
If you want to hear what other people overseas want to know about what's happening in Africa, they can give you their perspective, and they say, actually, we thought it was one big country, and then...
apparently they said we all tweet from one country.
No, it can be really that bad. And
they don't respect us in America, hey?
No, absolutely. Yeah. But also, it's very funny how a lot of Europeans, Russians,
Trump.
a lot of Europeans, Russians, American, Chinese come to Africa, number one for holiday, number two for business. You know what I mean? It's like the most weirdest thing. And I always say that in being in academia, our textbooks are written from a US version.
Yes.
From a UK. We don't have our own stuff that we... Actually, why are we not exporting textbooks?
Why are we importing? You know,
why a lot of business is done here in Africa? So for me, it doesn't really make a lot of sense. Just a little side note on that. I think also one of the most interesting things that I'm hoping would happen, especially the Wakanda movie, is to have a Wakanda game. Where you have the main characters as just completely black. Most of these video games or PlayStation games,
it's always white.
It's always white. Yeah. You know, it's always white. And because there might be one or two black characters there, but they'll obviously say this one's from Africa. They will never say he's from New York. So obviously they'll have their own idea that, you know, we're still living with giraffes, whatever the case may be, which we do when we're part of our giraffes, but they're not in our houses. We're not that rich. We're not that Wakanda yet. You know what I mean?
White man's backyard, though.
Yeah, it would be interesting.
No one's assuming there's bears and eagles inside an American's home, right?
Yeah. Because they've shown us what is there. Yeah.
You know what I'd love to see if something like that came out. You know, just a complete Wakanda where it's just, you know, superheroes, strong characters based on that. I'm a hectic gamer, by the way.
Stop, mature idea.
Me, based on what your statement, the other books. So I was telling my friend the other day that I don't like reading books that are not written by African people, especially if they're talking about an African narrative. I don't read them.
It doesn't make sense.
You, like, you're just giving me what you saw as a... You cannot... So I don't read them.
Yeah, I also saw the latest release of Nelson Mandela's book, but also by another white person, and I'm just like, oh my goodness. He's just not going to rest in peace, this guy. Everyone wants to make as quick of a buck.
And move on.
And something we don't often talk about is also like the psychological impact.
Impact it has, right?
You know, on a mass scale that not seeing yourself has. Or seeing yourself in these really sort of like base ways, you know, like there's a study that my strategy mentor put into a strategy a couple of years ago, and it proved that children, black children or children from minorities, the study was conducted in the United States, so it's a bit of a different sort of demographic.
The one with the dolls, and then they all chose the white doll.
Well, there was that, right? Yeah. Certainly. And there's also a study that found that confidence in children in dips as soon as they're exposed to media, because again, right, like media centralizes white males.
Now let's hold that thought on that note.
Sure.
Now, let's cliffcentral.com. And just like that, we're back, and we're back with Craig O'Sexy, Lee, and Candy Candace.
Hey,
what's up?
It's all good. Craig, just after this, actually not.
No. We're not doing anything. We're all right. We're actually, we're home. We're Wakanda now. I think we're being informed. Can we delve into what the business of the day is supposed to... Now, can we officially start? Now that I'm here. I'm joking. Lee, we absolutely enjoyed that interview. So what we like to try to do, or what we try to do, actually, let me not ruin English. We try to spice things up, you know, every now and again. So this game is very easy. It's called Now You Know. It's started by yours truly, Craig O'Sexy. Normally, I put words. So I would say a word, and then you'd have to give me the first thing that you think. And your emotion, you know.
Wow.
So simple. It can be one word or whatever the case may be.
I don't have feelings.
You will find them.
This nigga's trying to be all high grade. Anyway.
Let's get it.
What I decided to do was to write 12 things. I'm not going to mention all of them, depending on how many rounds we get. Things that will cheat proof my relationship. As in, if you have were to have a relationship with Craig O'Sexy, this is how you cheat proof. This is how you make sure that I don't cheat. Okay.
All right.
All right. Is everybody ready?
Yeah.
I'm gonna start with Lee, of course.
Okay. What's up?
First thing: work out and always look hot.
How does that make me feel?
What do you think? And how does that make you feel?
Work out, healthy, important. How does it make me feel? Like I'm not doing it enough.
Candace,
yes,
don't complain unnecessarily.
Okay. it makes me feel okay, I can do it. And what was the other one? How does it make you feel? And what do you think about it? So about no complaining, great, because I don't complain. I try not to complain, so great, I'm all for it. And how does it actually make me feel? It feels great.
Job, learn to deep throat.
Yo, yes, Job.
First word. And
yes, Job.
Don't act like you don't like it. That was a shock. Okay. That's how it made me feel. And what I think, I love it.
Oh wow! Okay.
As in it being done to me, yes. As in it being done.
No need to elaborate. We got it. Okay, Lee.
No.
Number four says, wear lingerie on special days. What do you think, and how does it make you feel? First word, and or first phrase, whatever you think, and then yeah.
I think yes. How does it make me feel? Special.
Awesome. Candace.
Me.
Don't touch my phone. It's an I/me phone for a reason.
100%. Mm-hmm. I agree with it. And how does it make me feel? It makes me feel safe. Ain't nobody gonna know
about
my house.
Ain't nobody gonna
know shit. I'm at peace, motherfucker.
I'm still looking for that phone. You know.
Job. Be considerate where finances are a concern.
Be considerate
where finances are a concern.
Are a concern.
Mm.
It makes me, like, what I think about it, I fully resonate and makes me feel good.
Absolutely. All right. Okay, just last round. Lee. Never forget to be you. Changing yourself for me won't help us.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Was that a statement?
Yeah, or
that's
part of the phrase.
Yeah, that's part of it. So I guess it was wow.
Wow, yeah.
Wow,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, wow.
And how do you make
it make me feel? Like these chakras are aligned, B. Like these chakras are aligned, okay. F.
Second, last one. Candace.
Mm-hmm.
Hang out with your friends. I'll hang out with my friends. I don't want to mix.
Fair enough.
Okay.
How does it make me feel? It makes me feel I don't know how that.
Yeah,
I'm very indifferent.
Is it?
Yeah, it makes me feel.
You want to hang out with your boyfriend's friends?
No, kishap, hey. I'm 100%.
All right, last one.
Because you ain't gonna hang with my nigga.
Absolutely, absolutely. Last one, for Job.
Yeah.
If you followed all the rules I just mentioned. And I still cheat on you. I'm an ass. Dump me.
Okay. That's what I think about it. Okay.
Okay.
And I feel good about it.
Awesome. Awesome.
But I didn't do it too spicy. I'm gonna do it one word.
Okay, one word.
One word. One word. One word. Mm. And
yeah, gotcha.
You know, feeling and thought.
Yeah.
Let's see.
If you're thinking about it.
No.
It makes me think.
Yeah.
And it makes me feel.
Okay, let me throw this at you. Lee.
Yeah. That's my first word. Number two.
Yeah.
Underwhelmed.
A little bit too white for my liking, but yeah.
Oh, the
that's
twang.
How you feel.
The twang. You can't keep up with the twang, can ya?
Lee.
Had it, dog.
Lee, let's see this. Gay people.
Gay people. Gay people.
How does that do?
Craig comes to mind.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
That's what you think. That's fine. And how do you feel?
How do I feel about Craig? Insightful.
Oh, really?
100%.
Yeah. I mean, he spotted the twang. I guess that's right on the surface. So it doesn't actually prove.
Candace,
yes.
Water.
Ah, great. Dehydrated? I mean, hydrated? Yeah, that's really all I mean, gotcha. I mean, like, give me something else.
You know what I mean?
Dick. You know, like fucking
dick.
Oh, hello. Yes, nice. Oh my God, yes. All of that. That's what I feel.
Right. Moving on.
Smash or marry? Would you smash or would you marry? Smash or marry?
You're still tuned into the Urban Culture Drive, guys, and we're getting ready to play Smash or Marry. Now, I don't know if you've played this before of her, or like rather heard about it, but this game is pretty, like, it's the best part of literally the show.
Really?
It gets people
off guard.
Slightly shook. You'll be fine. So I'll throw a name at you. You'll tell me if you'll smash or marry this person.
Okay.
It's gender fluid. It's quick play. And have fun with it. Everyone gets to play, so no one feels like
they're left out
on the spot. All so right. You know what I'm going to start with? I'm going to start along with Job.
Yeah.
With Job, and I think we'll go clockwise. All right.
Okay.
So Joby.
Yes, love.
Steve Harvey.
Mary.
Okay, that was too easy actually.
Mm.
Lee.
Mm.
Romeo Kamala.
Mary.
Okay. Craig or Sexy?
Yes.
Anele Mdoda.
Anele Mdoda is a Mary. No, she's got too much personality. She's lovely.
Okay. Yeah, this is the first.
That's the first time.
This is the first. A whole round of just Mary, even.
Like, you guys aren't even disputing.
This is gold diggers.
Job.
What a bit.
Tamar Braxton.
Who is she? Tamar is the guy, the lady who's dating that
Tony's sister, yes.
Smash.
Yeah, she's a lot now.
Yeah, no, she's just too much. Like, be out of it.
Lee. Rob Marley.
Rob Marley, who is that?
So, Robert Malinga's son.
Robert Malinga's son.
Gucci.
The one that's been all over the Gucci socials,
Gucci boy,
wiling
Gucci boy,
out.
Gucci boy, Gucci boy, Gucci boy.
And would you Gucci be top or bottom? It's too much. That
it's
guy.
Too much.
Can I just go out for a quiet night with the man, and then, you know, maybe we get to know each other, and then we part ways at the end of the night instead of having
smash
to commit to anything long term?
What if you have to throw it back? So either you throw it back or...
I know, throw it back. Just give it.
So, are you...
I let him beat.
Oh, you let him...
That's the first.
Okay,
let him beat.
That's the first. Actually...
Okay.
Actually, where the fuck is that? That's the first.
Zynga. Okay. Zynga was also a bottom,
yeah.
So it's okay.
Yeah, Zynga was also a bottom. So
the question was bottom or top.
Yeah.
Oh, my bad.
It's okay. It's okay. It's a rest.
Either way, the job gets done. It's fine. Craig was sexy.
Yes.
Craig, your fave. No, let me not give you your fave. So let's say Naledi Pandor.
Naledi Pandor. She does kind of speak like Lee, so yeah.
Yeah, no, they
sound sick. Hong, hong, hong. Really? Really?
Hong, hong, hong.
No, hong, hong, it ain't gonna work, boo. It ain't gonna work. This is nice.
This is why I'm searching for my African identity all over the place. I'm just...
Joby. Floyd Chivambu.
Okay, but that's a tricky one. That actually I have to think about.
You met him at the club. You see Floyd. You gotta decide if you're smashing or marrying him.
Nigga is smart. Nigga is outspoken. Nigga is revolutionary, man. He's forward thinking. No, I'd marry that nigga. We'll go places.
For guap
all the way.
Yeah, we'll go places. Like
guap.
Wow.
He's yeah.
Liam.
Hello.
You.
Did I say Romeo Kamalo?
Yeah.
Have I given you that one?
Mm-hmm.
Shit, I'm terrible at this today. Let's go, Nas.
Nas. Married.
Nas.
Okay.
Yeah.
Craig or Sexy?
Yes.
Sia Kolisi.
Sia Kolisi is a Mary and a half. And
okay.
Like,
balance, who's that?
Hello? No, you're
Mr.
not Wakanda.
Forward thinking.
You're definitely not Wakanda.
You're not a part of... You're kicking him out of Wakanda.
Yeah, definitely.
Who's that?
Rugby.
The captain of the...
Oh. Black first.
Oh, the new...
The first black.
Yeah, captain.
Black first.
Yeah, like, hey, guys.
Okay.
I know there's a...
It's okay.
Black,
it's
a black
okay.
Captain.
Moving right along.
Okay, Joby. This is the second last one. So,
yeah.
Joby.
Yeah, well, yes.
These are boring. Let me just say Jay-Z.
You chose them.
Yep. Your guys' energy is whack today. Like, I need some, like, oh my god.
Alright. Moonchild. Moonchild.
Are you asking me if I'll smash or marry her? Will you smash her? Yeah. Okay, Jay-Z, will you smash?
And I'll rim.
Jay-Z edition. Before all the wrecks. When he was still just a kid.
Nah, smash.
Okay. Okay, smash. Let's just smash him. And I'm I will wrap this up with the last one for Mr. Lee over here. Kanye!
Who?
Kanye.
Mbao.
No, not Mbao. It's an inside joke between the two of us. Kanye Buku Bukwana.
You gonna do me like that? You gonna do me like that?
So clearly we don't know
what I do with her, girl.
Let us know. We don't. So school us. What will you do?
Mary.
Okay. That's great. And this rounds up. It's not a segment of special.
Ah, don't worry.
We love Urban it. Culture Drive. The sure. Urban Culture Drive takes over Kelvin.
Yeah.
And just like that, we're at the end of another.
Yeah, it's a wrap, it's a wrap, it's a hour. Wrap. This marks 54 minutes into the show.
Like, this hour just goes by so
yeah,
quick.
Yeah, it flies.
You're having a good time.
Yeah, and you know, like I was saying, being from a 2-hour slot for a month.
Yeah, coming back to
half the time, once a week, it's an issue. It's an issue. But anyway, we still represent Urban Culture Drive every Tuesday. Guys, thanks for listening. Do catch us on the socials, Twitter, Insta, and WhatsApp.
What
on
can
our
we look forward
WhatsApps.
To you happening this year? This
yeah.
Ah, yeah.
And where can they find you?
No, for sure. If you want my email address, please contact the show.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you want an email address, any ideas or whatever. But otherwise, socials, Twitter, it's LESEEDI. Lee Molefe on Instagram and just Lesedi Molefe on Facebook. Working on a web series.
Awesome.
Working on a web series and a few other things, but I think the first thing we'll probably drop this year that truly, truly speaks to what we want to do is the web series.
Awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Nice.
On that note, just closing comment. What is it that, with what you're doing,
yeah.
The one thing that you'd like to achieve when it's all said and done and the curtain drops, what is it that you will main aim?
The grand vision.
Yeah. Why are you taking strides daily?
Giving African identity as it's represented in the media a more human face.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Pause. Craigo, closing comments.
Number one, try not to sound like a white person when you're selling an African content.
Just get over that.
But anyway, guys, be authentic, be yourselves, be lovely. Yeah.
Candace?
Be kind to each other.
I struggle.
Be kind to each other. Did you see what Lesotho said yesterday? Every domestic person that you meet, petrol attendant.
No, but I feel like that is either your character.
Or not.
We don't have to tell you how to treat people. No. I actually wanted to have him on the socials about that. Gary, no, you're being pretentious.
Thank you.
Like, you're being unnecessary. You're forcing the issue. You know you don't greet these people, and now you want to preach to us. Anyway, that was a private rant. We'll cut off in the 56th minute.
As always, love and light, peace and prosperity.
We out!
Everybody, so and we gonna be out. CliffCentral.com